From the authentic soul of Bernie Siegel, MD, comes Mind Health Matters, a show that reflects Bernie's passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges, not just the physical ones, so that each person can live life fully with the understanding that, as Bernie reminds us, we only have today. Believing that we are all here to love one another, each in our own unique way, Bernie has crafted eternal truths and the timeless wisdom of the ages. Join Bernie as he shares his powerful journey through life while offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom.
And welcome, everyone. Yes, this is Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel, the amazing, phenomenal Dr. Bernie Siegel. There's no one like him. And we have, well, first of all, I should say, if you're just tuning in for the first time, this is Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast. We're a syndicated, holistic, Boston-based internet radio station. You can listen to us in your car, driving around, online, wherever you are, we go. And Dr. Bernie Siegel's show is heard Wednesday through Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time. You just go on Dream Visions, all one word with an S on the end, the number 7radio.com, and you can just click and listen, or you can even ask Alexa to play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, and voila, you'll be listening to Bernie if you're tuning in at 12. So Bernie has a great guest today, and as you all know by now, we're a radioactive family. I'm Deborah Beauvais, and we also have Lionel Richie. Lionel Ketchian. Wow.
Well, Deborah, I got to tell you, you might be right, because my middle name is Richmond, so you can call me Lionel Richie.
Oh, well, there you go. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So there you go. So we have an amazing guest, and she's actually been on the Dream Vision 7 radio network a few years back. She has written a book with Dr. Larry Burke, and her name is Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, and she is called Cat, or goes by Cat. And they have written, well, she mentioned that you have written a book, Cat, earlier, all about your journey. And now you're writing with Larry, and the book is Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signals of Cancer and Other Diseases. So, Bernie, since it's your show, go for it.
Well, let me start first by having Kathleen wait and listen to me. Because what I was thinking of, you know, it's not just about disease. So people don't get frightened off, you know, by the book. It's about decisions, the future. Because when I was thinking this morning that Kat was going to be on, I thought of something that happened to me. I went to a workshop run by Carl Simonton many, many years ago, physician, about how to empower cancer patients. And interestingly enough, I was the only doctor out of 150 people in the room. Shows you how bad the medical profession is. But I was looking for more tools, and he did guided imagery and a whole host of things. But when he said, we'll now take time to do a guided imagery, I thought, I didn't come here to waste my time closing my eyes and making pictures. I want to learn something. But because he was looking at me from the podium, I shut my eyes so he wouldn't know I was ignoring him. And I was an artist, and I still am an artist, so all the images and visions that came up were incredible. I mean, I thought, wow, this is terrific. Why didn't anybody teach me about this? And when I got back to my office on Monday after the weekend workshop, one of my partners, who was very intuitive, I just walked in the door. He said, you're gone. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you're going to quit surgery. You're not the same person you were on Friday. And he was right. I retired several years later to help patients, as one said, live between office visits. And so this consciousness that creates the images is something that is within all of us. Yes, there are those who are better at it because they can quiet their mind. You might call them mystics, because the person I met in my guided imagery, his name and his appearance have been seen by others. In other words, standing around me, they'll say, oh, there was a man standing in front of you for the whole lecture. And they will tell me, it's George, the fellow I met. So those things are in all of us. And when you get to the dreams helping you, yes, people wake up and say, somebody, a woman appeared in my dream with an accent and dark skin and told me I have a lump in my breast. And it's there, and it's diagnosed ultimately at the hospital as cancer. And who do you think her doctor was when they said, your doctor will be coming in, the one who's going to direct your treatment? It was the person she saw in her dream, the woman from India who's a physician. Now, I've had dreams like that. I'm not going to take up the whole program, you know, and so have other people in my family. But I'd say to everyone, quiet your mind and let that inner wisdom come forth. Kathleen, how did you get into this? How did it open up to you to get you interested?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your show, Bernie. And, you know, I want everybody to know that you are involved in this book. You wrote our foreword and you wrote the children's chapter. So you know the book inside and out when you're talking to them. But I got into it. It was amazing. I completely changed my life and my lifestyle. I had a beautiful life where the most I had to worry about when I woke up in the morning was what tennis outfit I was going to put on and where I was going to go to lunch with my tennis team after we worked out or played tennis. And then I started having the dreams, or better word is nightmare. And in these dreams and nightmares, I had Franciscan monks as guides, and I never did learn their names, but they would come into my dream through a pop-up window. Like my dream would stop as time would stand still, and these doorways to divine information would open up first as windows and then doors, and these monks would step through and they would say, come with us, we have something to tell you. And they would take me in through that window that became a door into the room between realms. And it's a place of neither the living nor the dead, but actually a parallel universe. And many of the dreamers in the book talk about this same place as well. And they took my hand, put it on my breast, and said, you go back to your doctor tomorrow. Do you feel that? That's cancer. And I said, yes, I feel it, and I could in the dream. And I started crying and said, they're not listening to me. They're giving me the same test. I've already been there 3 times. It's been over 3 months that I keep returning. They're not going to listen to me tomorrow any more than they're listening to me yesterday. So if you want me to live, if I really have breast cancer, help me. And they did. One of them reached into their sleeve, pulled out a teeny tiny little feather like you would see lying on your floor in the morning from your pillow, from your feather pillow, and said, if you go back to your doctor tomorrow and use this feather as though it were a sword to cut through all their red tape and all their arguments, you'll get the test you need, which is exploratory surgery. So the dream stopped. I walked back through the door. It closed up behind me. My original dream started up again because time had kicked back in. And long story short, I returned to my doctor the next day. I stood in front of him. I imagined holding that feather, and I convinced him to do exploratory surgery, which you know is hard to get a doctor to do. And I was in stage 2, very aggressive breast cancer, with it in a lymph node. So the point of this story is, if I had been able to convince those doctors sooner, if I'd been a little more aggressive maybe, or assertive is probably a better word, and that dream had come to fruition sooner, I had gotten the doctors to work with me, it would have been an early diagnostic tool to breast cancer. So instead of going through surgery, having my lymph nodes removed, going through chemotherapy, which was horrible, going through radiation therapy, maybe my treatment would have been much less invasive.
Yeah. Now, if I may, Kat, you in your book, Surviving Cancer Land, The Intuitive Aspects of Healing, now you've been through this before. You went through so much, and you had to demand attention or to listen, and you accomplished that, which is phenomenal.
Oh, thank you. And many of the dreamers in the book, and you know, Bernie probably knows this because he read some of, you know, the book also as it was coming in. The dreamers that survived, the ones that believed their dreams, because the dreams were happening over and over again. They were recurrent dreams. You know, it wasn't like you just had one dream. You would have them over and over. They just wouldn't leave you alone. Like Mira Mars, in her dream about diabetes, every dream she was having was about desserts and corn syrup and cornfields turning into skeletons and turning black. I mean, it's over and over and over again. It doesn't just happen once. And so that's what happened to me. And yes, I did have breast cancer 3 times. And all 3 times, my dreams diagnosed it first. Some of them were precognitive. I would have the dream 5 years before the cancer was found. So I knew it was going to be there, and I had to be really proactive, just like all the other dreamers in this book. They were really proactive.
Yeah, let me interrupt, because that's survival behavior. Proactive. You're not a submissive sufferer. See, the word patient is derived from submissive sufferer. I tell people, I make up my own words, become a respond. What's a respond? A responsible participant. You go in and you speak up and you assert yourself. You know, it isn't because the doctor said, I'm all right, and then you go home and die because the doctor said you're all right and you don't take care of yourself. If you feel something, believe something, speak up. So that, again, the doctor knows you, or even in the hospital, they know you as a person. You know, but you're not a room number or a diagnosis, and you become a person. And it's that inner wisdom, you know, our consciousness, that is there to help protect us. I mean, I've had symptoms and had just the opposite happen. I've had bloody urine quite a few years ago, and my partners were saying to me, hey, dumbbell, go get it checked. You know, what? How can you have something like that and not go see the doctor? But I just knew it wasn't anything, you know, worrisome. But I said to them, all right, I'll make an appointment. That night I had a dream. I was running the cancer group. And I said to everybody, introduce yourselves before we begin. And we went around in a circle, and everybody told what they had, what was going on. And it came my turn to talk, and before I could open my mouth in the dream, everybody in the room said, yeah, but you don't have cancer. And it was like, thank you. and it was true. I finally did go to see a urologist, and I had an infection. But I knew it when I woke up that I didn't. And on the other hand, I can tell you, I believe in these things, because when one of our children, when he was 7, walks up to me and said, I need an x-ray of my right knee. I thought, what is a 7-year-old doing saying something like that? Well, he knew it. You know, his intuition told him. And I said to him, take a hot bath. And he said, no, I need an x-ray. And, of course, he had a bone tumor. I say, of course. But I meant, when he said, no, I need an x-ray, I knew a 7-year-old doesn't act like that when his father's a doctor. He knows something.
Right.
And it was right. And so I've learned to listen, and I tell people, pay attention to your dreams. I mean, don't think it's nuts. Don't worry what other people think. You just go ahead and take care of yourself and use that inner wisdom.
Oh, I agree. You know what you know, and you know your body. Your body
Yes.
speaks to you with signs and symbols and dreams, and each dream you have that is trying to give you the message that won't go away is given to you different ways. Sometimes people in the book would have the first dream, which would be symbols, and then they would have synchronicities all day long. It drives you crazy. That reminds you of your dream in case you thought you wouldn't remember it. And then the next time they have a dream, it may be like you had, your spirit guide will show up, or I did, my spirit guide will show up and talk to them. So then you have words. And then in another dream, you will have interaction where they actually take your hand, put it on your breast, or they show you a picture, or, you know, they just don't leave you alone because it's not your time to die. And if you don't listen to those dreams, that could possibly happen. So our dreams are so important.
Absolutely. And I learned the validity because I didn't, you know, again, in medical school, well, let me put it this way, people understand. People are treated like mechanical objects. What do I mean by that? If you have a plumbing problem, you call a plumber. If you have an electrical problem, you call an electrician. But the human body is not like a building or a car. So you're a unit. So when you have a problem, it is all of you, if you know what I mean. Your whole body, chemistry, mind and body. When I started doing this kind of work, I sent an article to a medical journal, which came back saying it's interesting but it isn't appropriate for our journal. When I sent it to where it was appropriate, a psychiatric journal, they sent it back again. But this time the comment was, it's appropriate, but it's not interesting. We know all this. That's what blows my mind, that you can go to a doctor and they don't ask, have you had a dream? What's going on in your life? Why might you be ill now? You're more likely to find this in novels and poems, you know, that you'd call fiction. But it isn't fiction because, as Solzhenitsyn in his book Cancer Ward said, there are cases of self-induced healing. And the symbol? A rainbow-colored butterfly. Total order, transformation. Now, here's an author who had cancer writing about it. You never hear a doctor say, oh, you've had a self-induced healing. That's wonderful. Oh, you had a spontaneous remission. Aren't you lucky? You know, I learn from my patients. And that's what we all have to do. Learn from ourselves. Don't be afraid to share things. Don't, you know, don't worry somebody saying, oh, you're nuts. I mean, I'm laughing because a lot of people came to my office and the families would say, this is, you know, my mother's a little crazy. She'll tell you things. And I'd come out after talking to her and say, what a wonderful mother you have. And they'd look at me like, oh, I guess we have a crazy doctor too. Because it were people who are not afraid to share their dreams and symbols and things that, happen. I'll tell one more picture story and then I'll try to hold my breath. A mother brought her daughter to my office. She said, I think my daughter has a lymphoma. She has all these large nodes in her neck and it runs in the family. So she also said, but I know you like drawings. And so she said, my daughter did some this week here. She handed me two drawings. One, the daughter drew herself with this swollen side of her face. But the second picture was a great big cat with claws that were like an inch long. I said to the mother, don't worry. She said, what do you mean, don't worry? Your daughter has cat scratch fever. Look at this cat. I mean, those claws just said that to me, and it was right. I mean, yes, I took out a node, and it was an infection, and we treated it. But again, as soon as I looked at that picture, and I've had that happen in the hospital too, when people are just taking their time doing little sketches on a piece of paper, and I walk in, I look at it, I say, oh, you don't need a surgeon. You have a medical problem. And they look at me like, huh? How do you know? But I put the drawings in their chart because something I learned from a Jungian therapist, you see, or an art therapist, they don't know anatomy. So this wonderful woman, Susan Bach, who wrote a book called Life Paints Its Own Span, because she worked with children and all their dreams and drawings. And the kids aren't afraid to do a picture because they don't worry, I'm not an artist. But she said, Jung was fascinated by the somatic aspects of the drawing. I said, yes, because he knew anatomy. He was a doctor. You don't know anatomy, so you don't see the things that I see and he sees. And that woke her up to a whole, you know, new part of all the drawings and the dreams and everything else.
That's amazing. And yeah, you know, you were talking about, Barney, how some people are worried about going to their doctors because they're afraid they'll be laughed at. You know, I had a dream, and in the dream, this angel or this monk told me this or that. They're afraid of being laughed at, but I came to the conclusion that I'd rather have my doctors laugh at me because they think that, you know, I'm maybe off my rocker than having us all cry together because I didn't tell them. The worst that's going to happen is they're going to come back with a test and say, no, you're perfectly healthy. There's nothing wrong with you. And that would be wonderful. But if you're not a hypochondriac, I mean, you don't have to worry about it. Who in the world would go to their doctor if there was not something really wrong with them and say, please cut me open and check me out inside? Nobody. So if you're listening to this show and you've been having recurrent dreams, go and get a test. And ask for a second test. You've already paid for it. You've got insurance. So just get however many tests you need to stop the dreams, because when they stop, you got your answer.
Yeah, and let me say again, there's what a psychiatrist defined as immune-competent personality, because he began to realize when he was helping people with AIDS and other things survive, you know, and deal with their emotions, that there were certain patterns to their personality that led to longer survival. So he listed them, you see, and that's part of what I try to teach people. But being, as I said before, the submissive sufferer isn't. So go and speak up. Don't be afraid of being wrong. I mean, don't worry about, I'm not an artist, you want me to draw a picture. It's not about failing, doing it wrong, fighting battles. It's about doing what feels right for you. And let me, again, all these little examples.
If you may hold that thought, dear Bernie, because we need to take our first break. And for everyone out there, stay with us, and Bernie may continue, and our guest, Kat.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every week, Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. and 12 a.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For 40 years, Omega has been a gathering place for great thinkers, creative talent, spiritual teachers, and social visionaries. With 390 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
How can you find freedom from stressful thoughts and allow your mind to return to its peaceful, creative nature? Join Byron Katie, best-selling author of Loving What Is, for a weekend retreat this May at Omega. Discover Katie's simple yet life-changing process known as The Work and learn how to undo what makes you unhappy. Use discount code DREAM to receive 20% off when you register for Loving What Is with Byron Katie at Omega, May 4th to 6th. Learn more at eomega.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. You're listening to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. And if you'd like to get in touch with Bernie, you can go right on his site. It's Bernie Siegel, SIEGELMD.com. You can send him a note there and look at all the different articles that he has written and his books and such. But if you'd like to save 15% on any of Bernie's books and items, you can go on his son and daughter-in-law's website, which is wisdomoftheages.biz, B-I-Z. And when ordering, you just put in code 27 and in the comment box, and you'll save 15% automatically on all his items. And if you'd like to learn more about Lionel Ketchian, part of our radioactive family, you can go on his site, happinessclub.com. And we, Bernie's guest today is Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas, and she is the author of Surviving Cancerland, The Intuitive Aspects of Healing, which is an amazing book. And her new book with author Dr. Larry Burke is Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. So, Bernie?
Yes. I can't remember what I was thinking about before the break. but it's again, to always look at yourself and your life in an integrated way. It's not just, you know, take a pill. It's also, what is your body communicating? Well, let me, in another way, Monday morning we have more heart attacks, strokes, suicides, and illnesses. Why? People don't feel good on Monday morning, you know, whether it's traffic, work, or anything else. What's happening to them? And I know lots of people who, you know, expected to die in a few months, who went on living for years and even had their disease disappear, because they then focused on what they enjoyed in life. Mm-hmm. And putting it in another way, don't give up your life to please others. And that is the doctor or your family or anybody else. I mean, if something feels right for you, this intuitive wisdom, if your heart is talking to you, I always say there are many schools and institutions named Sacred Heart, but you never find anything named Sacred Brain, because the heart knows the truth, the feelings, and they have, but your heart can't talk to you, so it talks in dreams and visions. And when you have those, pay attention. It's not about somebody saying, that's crazy. It's about, what is your truth? If it happens, pay attention to it. And ask your body, how does it feel to do this? And that includes the treatment, too, because I have people who draw a picture of the devil giving them poison, Kat. Mm-hmm. You were talking about chemotherapy. Yeah, when mm-hmm. you draw the devil giving you poison, you have every side effect in the book. And then I've had calls from doctors saying, we thought something was wrong and they weren't being radiated, that the nurse hadn't put the chemotherapy in because your patients don't have any side effects. And then I saw your name in the chart. I realized one of your crazy patients. So they begin to realize that when somebody saw it as a gift from God, they didn't have side effects. And let me, now I remember what I was going to say, and then I'll take a breath again. Four chemotherapeutic agents were being given as treatment for a certain type of cancer. They began with the letters E, P, O, and H. And so the doctors decided we'll call it the EPO protocol and, you know, keep track of it that way. One of them noticed one day E, P, O, and H is hope spelled backwards. So he turned it around and started giving all his patients the hope protocol. Statistically, guess what happens? More of his patients responded to the chemotherapy than those who were giving EPO. Now, what's different? Nothing. They're all getting exactly the same treatment. But what is different is what's going on in their minds and bodies and their chemistry. So I always remember the local oncologists here, one of them, when a woman was told she's incurable and not even bother to go get treatment, she'll just feel worse. And a relative told her, I get people well all the time. So she showed up, had leukemia. I said, I'm a surgeon, I can't treat this, but I gave her a hug and talked to her a lot in the hospital, and then had my oncology friend come over. And he said, I agree with her, doctor, but I know you're a crazy patient, so I'll give her hope. In 2 months, she was in complete remission. Now you say, how does that happen? Well, Dr. Siegel hugged me and sat on my bed. I knew I'd get better. So again, the image that you get, whether it's my hugging you or the dream or the drawing, pay attention to what's going on within you.
You know, there's a story in the book, and when I was listening to you, it just reminded me of that. And if you did hear some noises in the background here, we had a little teeny tiny earthquake while Dr. Bernie was talking. I guess he moved the earth. And we had a couple things fall. It was just a tiny little one. I was like, what in the world?
Yeah, Bernie can do that. Bernie can
his
do that.
Words can just move the earth. But in the chapter 40 in the book, it's called The Silver Spaceship, Alien Saved My Life. And in the story, Dana Anderson actually had a spaceship land in her dream. And these aliens came out of the spaceship, and they told her that she needed to take a special chemotherapy. And she was like, well, you know, why would I do that? They said, because this is the only one that will work, and it's called interferon. She's like, what? And they repeated it to her, interferon, go back to your doctor. So she went back to her doctor because she had been given like maybe 2 or 3 weeks to live. It was serious. She was beyond stage four. And she told her doctor, she was brave enough, she said, you know, either he's going to listen to me and I'm going to live, or he's not and I'm going to die anyhow. And he listened as she told him her dream and that the space people told her to take interferon. And he said, you know, that drug's not even available yet, but I know somebody who's doing a study and I can get it. Let's see if we can get you in this study and give you the drug. They did, and that was something like 20 years ago. She is fine.
Well, here's a similar thing. A woman went to bed. In her dream, a cat appears and says, my name is Miracle, and here is the way you should have your cancer treated. And she listed the drugs. And the woman, who's not a doctor or a nurse, wrote everything down that the cat told her and went to her doctor the next day and said, this is what happened in a dream. And I thought the doctor's going to say, lady, are you nuts? I'll make the decisions. But she had an open-minded doctor. He said, okay, all right, let's do that. And she, again, went into complete remission. And when one of our kids brought a kitten in a few days later, I said, we'll name it Miracle. And that cat lived for over 20 years and died because we gave her some medication one day and she had a crazy reaction to it. I always felt she would have lived to maybe 40 if we hadn't had that accident happen. But again, imagine having a cat named Miracle appear and tell you how to treat your cancer, and you don't know anything about drugs that treat cancer. But believe me, the wisdom is there in that collective consciousness.
Our dreams are definitely doorways to, you know, divine intervention.
Yeah, that's a good term. It's a doorway to divine intervention, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, because that wisdom is there. And when you open the door, and don't be afraid to go in, because in my book, Love, Animals, and Miracles, I mentioned something. There's a man who's worried about dying and what is it going to be like. And the dog, Furphy is his name, scratched on the door and I opened it. And he just walked right in. And I said, now you know. He said, what do you mean? I said, that dog's never been in this room. But his master is. He has faith in me. So I opened the door, he just walks right in. And I said, that's what dying is like. If you have that faith, you don't have to worry, you know, who your Lord will be and where you will go and what will happen. And I really mean that. We have to understand that. If you have faith, it's amazing. I've literally seen cancers go away when people went home and left their troubles to God. That's the quote. I went home and I left my troubles to God. It's not because we told them to or prescribed it. It's because we had nothing more to offer. And we thought this one woman was going home to die and then shows up in the office with no sign of cancer anymore. So it's that divine intervention. It's possible. It's there. You got time for a little humor?
Sure. I always have time for humor.
What's his name? Joseph Heller, the author, was in the hospital with Guillain-Barré disease. He was all paralyzed. And I was reading his book that he, you know, like you wrote your book, he wrote his book. And I was reading it, and he said, Mel Brooks came into my hospital room and said, in the name of Jesus, stand and walk. And I said to Mel, it didn't work. And he said, it was worth a try. I wrote to Mel Brooks, because I have my sense of humor. And I said, Mel, if you'd only said the right thing, he would have been okay. You should have said, your sins are forgiven, not rise and walk. It's not mechanical. It's your life. So next time, say, your sins are forgiven. And he wrote back to me and thanking me for straightening out the Jesus talk. And he ended his letter with, your sins are forgiven, Mel. But it's really, you know, seeing the difference in that. It's not just a mechanical approach. There's more to this. And that's why I love that divine intervention. It's accessible to all of us. We're part of creation. And it's there in us. But we have to stop thinking to turn it on and get it to work and have that kind of faith. And I may add, I always tell people you can pray in two ways. One is to have faith and leave your troubles to God. And the other is to tell God what you want. Because I've had people have their disease disappear when they screamed and yelled at God. I can't stand this suffering anymore. I want to be dead. So, you know, I don't want to wake up tomorrow. You got to end this. And if you're not going to, you know, end my life tonight, then you damn well better make me well tomorrow because I can't go on. That lady also had her disease disappear. She said she screamed at God for hours and then fell asleep and woke up. But again, I'd say it's the anger that she's had stored in her for a lifetime, probably since her childhood. So get it all.
That's what Louise Hayes did back when she had breast cancer. She screamed and yelled because she was caregiving for her mom at the same time, and then she received miracles.
Yeah, I remember being on the stage with her once, and you know, questions were coming from the audience, and a woman got up and talked about having an autoimmune disease where your body's attacking itself. And Louise interrupted her and said, who do you need to express your anger at? And she said, my mother. And that's the kind of stuff that woke me up years ago. Because it's like, how come she asked that, you know? And the woman immediately had an answer. But it's, you store that within you. And that's why listening to people is a wonderful thing to do. If you want to be a good therapist, just listen. And I say, just go, Stop telling everybody what to do. Listen. They hear themselves. They get it all out. And then they thank you for being such a wonderful help. But
yes, well, it's time for our next break, everyone. So don't go away. We'll be back in a moment more with Dr. Bernie Siegel and Mind Health Matters.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every week, Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. and 12 a.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
When you learn the language of the energy body, every part of you responds like a plant reaching toward light. Lauren Walker, creator of Energy Medicine Yoga, shares basic techniques to balance your body in a workshop at Omega, May 11th to 13th. Experience the power of energy medicine yoga and learn to align your body with its own innate energetic power. For 20% off, use discount code DREAM when you register for energy medicine yoga at Omega. Learn more at eomega.org.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and Faith, Hope, and Healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Deep in the bushveld in the Tumbavati region of South Africa, in the heart of the homelands of the white lions, we are reaching the end of the first week of our annual White Lion Leadership Academy, a four-week intensive immersion in the 13 laws of lion-hearted leadership. 14 very carefully selected people have flown in from all around the world for this experience. Linda's going to be telling you more on Tuesday, so stay tuned.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And yes, we are back with Dr. Bernie Siegel, and Lionel has a question for our guest, Kat.
Yes, Kat, I find all this very interesting, and I know Bernie's work, and as I'm listening to Bernie, one of the thoughts that I had in my mind is, you're talking about how you sort of get diagnosed in a dream and take action, become proactive about doing something about your dream telling you you have cancer. My question is, have you thought about or work with or investigated the idea of healing through a dream? And it's sort of working backwards in a sense, where you're directing your thoughts to full recovery. Let's say you have an illness, or even if you have cancer, for example, and you put out the thought with faith and a positive vision that you see the recovery, you see the perfection of your cure, and even using gratitude to sort of convince yourself that the faith is fulfilled, and the very thing you're in a way asking for has already happened. So you live in the reality that it's all good, everything is fine. I was wondering if those evoke any kind of thoughts for you or anything, whether in your book or in your research and your life.
That's a great question, Lionel. And yes, we actually have a part 6 in the book, and it's called Healing Guidance Dreams for All Illnesses. And there are about 7 dreams in there that were actually healing dreams that people had either during their treatment or, for instance, one person had lung cancer. And the doctors told him he was only going to live for a very short period of time if he did not have conventional chemotherapy. And he used healing guidance dreams to heal himself and never took the chemo. So there's a whole section in the book full of that. But in my case, I remember this one. It was called Tiny Bubbles and Fishy Chakras. That was the name of the dream. And it was while I was undergoing chemotherapy, which was Adriamycin, Cytoxin, and Bernie was talking about the devil giving somebody chemotherapy, and that's definitely what Adriamycin, Cytoxin is. It's just so awful. And in this dream, I imagined running around on a Hawaiian beach with Don Ho playing the song Tiny Bubbles. And I had a bubble kit, and I was creating these big, beautiful bubbles that were going through the air, and some of them would land on the surf, and they would break on my body and absorb into my skin. And the reason I had that dream is because my blood tests were so low that they couldn't give me my chemotherapy, my next chemotherapy, on the date it was scheduled, because I wasn't able to recover quickly. Sometimes chemotherapy is almost as bad as the disease. So I had this dream, and my doctor...
I would agree with that. Not sometimes. But,
and my doctor said, you know, let's do another blood test in about 10 days and see if you've come up. And I remember going to bed that night almost in tears going, I'm never going to get through this treatment because it's always being postponed. It had already been postponed once. So I had that dream, and the next day I went into to our little clinic, and I had a blood test because I just knew that dream had made a difference, and my bloods were normal, and I was able to take my chemo the next day. And there's another story in the book by Dr. Kathy Kemper, and by the way, we have a lot of doctors in this book who shared their dreams and their patients' dreams. And Dr. Kathy Kemper works with children. She's she's called the Dr. Spock of modern times. And in this dream, the child told Kathy when she came in the morning to do her rounds that she had seen a dream where she had gone up, up, up in the dream, and that she knew her blood tests were fine and that she was going to be able to take her treatment because her dream had healed her. And so when Kathy sent her blood off that day, the little girl had had almost like a miraculous recovery from her treatments. So, yes, in answer to your question, Lionel, there are a lot of healing dreams, and we do have them in the book, where people dream during treatment or dreamed despite not having treatment and just used their dreams to heal.
Mm-hmm. And let me add, it's not just the dream, Lionel, because... Mm-hmm. Some poems women have written say, one, just rather than recite the whole poem, 9 months seems like a long time. I watch my body change, but it finishes with 9 months pass. I give birth to my child. All the discomfort and pain is now justified. The second paragraph of the poem, 12 months, chemotherapy and radiation. I watch my body change. Tired, I sit staring out at life. But it ends with 12 months pass. I give birth to myself. All the discomfort and pain is now justified. So,
and we have a story like that in the book, too, where the woman kept having dreams where she was giving birth.
Right. Wow. And that's what we're all doing, in a sense. But you see, when you see it as this terrible, horrible pain, you have more side effects than if it's worthwhile to give birth to myself. And the humor, too. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of crazy things in the operating room to get people to laugh. And they thank me for that 10 and 20 years later, saying thank you. You may not remember what you said, but that's when we stop being afraid. And and so, again, don't ever stop, you know, having a sense of humor, because it can bring you through. Because I mean it literally when I say when you're laughing, you can't be afraid. You can't. And
so Bernie, a lot of people may not remember what you said, but as the old story goes, they do remember how you made them feel, and that's the case. The other thing that you always say is that it's not about spontaneous recovery or healing; it's about self-induced healing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And this is what we're talking about now.
Again, the survivor behavior. You know, we're talking about cancer. She wrote a poem called, "If Bilateral Mastectomies Can't Be Fun, They're Not Worth Having." So she said, I made a clean breast of it. It was good to get that off my chest. But my career plans to be a waitress at Hooters are foiled. You know what I mean?
Read
that page of what she put together, and I don't worry about her. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She's going to make it. Because if she can do that, that's a survivor. Yeah. Versus the woman, when I say I do work with drawings, you know, somebody's having a bilateral mastectomy, say, draw a picture of yourself, and it's this horrible, you know, I'm not a woman anymore. It's just tragic to look at her self-image now. You know, because in order to be a woman, all the makeup and the hairdo and the clothing, you know, I mean, she's hiding herself behind all this because she doesn't feel like a person anymore. And we've got to keep your own integrity. It isn't, you know, whether you have deformities or losing a leg or a breast or can't see, or you're still a person. And don't forget that. And a teacher to others, too.
Right.
Yeah. Kat, thank you very much for sharing those stories with me about the later chapters, because I think that we are, we do have the ability to create, you know, both the negative and the positive, but we're so stuck, sometimes our head is so tilted to the negative in life that we don't realize it works both ways and that we have the power to attract what it is we decide we want to ourselves.
Yeah, your body believes what your mind pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Think so.
So if you keep picturing good things, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's going to the operating room, going to get chemo, whatever it is, you'll have fewer side effects because your body thinks, oh, this is just, you know, that thing we've had 20 times this week. Because every couple of hours you picture it happening and doing well. So when you literally go for the treatment, your body thinks, oh, this is just one more of those things. And it makes
it different. Yeah. Yep. I've been reading. Yeah, I'm sorry, Kat. Please go ahead.
You go ahead.
Yeah.
Lionel.
Oh, no.
I'd love to see the day when they're not chopping off parts of a woman's body for them to heal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would like to say.
Yeah, that would be.
Well, then maybe I can contribute something to that. I had prostate cancer and had an operation in November, and you know, Bernie had me draw a picture and so forth, and everything went very well. But I was doing some of my own healing, and it was very beneficial for me. I had been sent a book, The Five Lessons by Neville Goddard. Sort of a student of, you might say, Ernest Holmes. And anyway, he raised something as a thought that I thought was so unbelievably practical. You know how in today's world we tell people that you need to envision the positive, embrace the positive, think positive, and people will say, well, I can't lie to myself. If I have cancer, I can't tell myself I don't have cancer. That's a lie. So Goddard said something that I think is pretty practical. It may sound extremely strange when I tell you what it is, but I'm going to share it with you. He says, we're lying to ourselves all the time. You might as well lie positively.
Right.
And he's right. He's right.
Well, it's called hypnosis. Yeah.
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 And that works. It works because we have to believe it to see it, and we work it the other way. We need to see it to believe it, and that's why it doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah, good point.
And I use the word potential. I say to people, you're not a statistic. You know, actually, I say this to a lot of patients. I say, you know, doctor, I'll be dead in 6 months. I say, here's $10,000. Go to the doctor and say you want to bet $10,000 you live for 8 months.
I love it.
And the doctors never bet. Because, you know, they answer, well, you could live for 8 months. Then why'd you tell me I'll be dead in 6 months?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming to the end of the show, everyone.
One more quote from Emily Dickinson then. Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings a tune without the words and never stops at all.
Oh, that's a beautiful quote. Yes, and in our book, every chapter starts with a quote, usually from either Freud or the author of that chapter. So I just want to tell you that the book is going live this month on the 17th. And for your listeners, if they order a book before it goes live, they get a 23% discount. And they can use their receipt number from Amazon to get a free gift on my website, which is KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com.
Could you spell that, Kathleen, for the listeners?
Yes. KathleenO'KeefeCannabis, and then KathleenO'KeefeCannabis. And if you go to Google and just type in Kat, K-A-T, it'll come up. So you don't have to remember
easier.
All of that.
Right. Would you like to have the last word, Bernie, as we go out?
Oh, I just feel so good. Like I'm clean inside. I mean it, you know. Mm-hmm. No pressure. No, it's just sharing with like-minded individuals, because mm-hmm. when I would get a chance to speak at medical conferences years ago, I would leave exhausted because everybody was arguing with you.
Yeah.
What study, you know, was that statistically valid? What journal was it in? But when you tell stories, they are the truth.
Mm.
And
mm-hmm.
quiet yeah. your mind. I always learned the still pond. You want to see the truth, quiet your mind so you can have it reflected back at you. And stop worrying about statistics and validity and live by your experience, not your belief. Because your beliefs
well
can
said.
Block you. Yeah.
Mm. Well
right.
said. So that's the end. And for everyone out there, listen to the show and gather wisdom for yourself, especially this show, because it's all about opening up our minds to something beyond what we are used to living on the day-to-day. So until the next time with Dr. Bernie Siegel, bye for now.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.